Blog Talk Radio.
First of all, Dave Meltzer wrote this huge story, a doom and gloom story on how the UFC and Fox is blowing this thing because of the numbers that came out then. First and foremost, Dave, you know I like you, I respect you, but you just lost your job at Yahoo, and you want to give us business advice? I'm actually writing a story next week that I'm going to put out of all the ways I think you could have, all the things that I think you could have done to keep your job at Yahoo. That story's coming out next week, Dave. You might want to read it, okay?
Welcome to Ringside Wrap,
a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Hey, good evening again. Welcome, everyone, to Ringside Wrap. It is Wednesday, May 16th, 2010, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined on the line, as always, by the legendary Les Thatcher. And a little bit of a free-for-all this week, as we've got an abbreviated edition, only going for about an hour tonight, broken up by a nice set of commercials right in the middle of the show this time. So we got about a half hour here to talk. And Les, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Mike, and I feel Dana White's frustration. I listened to Chico and Dave say what a great acted segment the very hour and a half, I think it was an hour and a half long, firing of Big Show was on Monday. And I don't know what type of medication Dave and Chico are on, but I think they need to back off on the dosage.
Maybe they were hanging out with Nick Diaz.
Well, I don't know, but they weren't watching the same stupid show I was watching. And although I think they must be on Vince's payroll now.
I'm certainly not going to defend them other than to say maybe they just were so broken down and beaten by the wacky weekend that took place with Canvas Mats. They went insane, I guess, because the last time we did show, in fact, the last time you did audio at all, I mean, really, beginning on Saturday, what an odd weekend. And for anybody, and everybody out there wants to call in tonight, too, tonight would be a good night to do it, 347-324-5735. But for those who were unaware, on Saturday we had, and this is, I'll just give you the bullet points of it, everybody, CZW ran an iPay-per-view. A kid was hurt, taken to the hospital with a neck and shoulder injury. They updated it today to just say that, you know, he was stable, but that was it. There was another iPay-per-view by Gabe Sapolsky, Dragon Gate, I believe it was Dragon Gate USA, which I'm sure the quality on those shows are always fantastic, but I wonder how many people had a chance to see it, because they sometimes pull the same people as Ring of Honor does. And Ring of Honor had a disastrous iPay-per-view attempt on Saturday night. As that happens, Nick Diaz, who's supposed to fight or square off in a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu exhibition for charity, he blows off an autograph signing, a press conference, all the photographs, all of this stuff, and the fight itself. and reportedly was actually fine. He was at the hotel, but just decided to freak out when the guy was not going to make weight, and he doesn't show up. The guy ends up making weight, no Nick Diaz, which leads to Sunday, the TNA pay-per-view, which was not awful, but if you look at it from the standpoint of how many of their regular viewers got a chance to order the pay-per-view, very few of them did, so I don't know how you look at anything good there. And then you get to Raw on Monday. That was not a good show. And then the rating comes out, and that's not any good either. And I'm sure Vince is panicking when, why? There's no reason to panic. Your show sucked on Monday, and it continues to defy people's brains. So that's probably why they didn't tune in. And you mentioned it. I don't know if it was a ceremonial thing or what.
Well, let me say first that to those listening, that was the encyclopedia version of why it was all right for Dave and Chico to be wrong. You're not going to defend him. Okay.
That was my Dana White. That was my Dana White excuse for the guys at The Observer of why they've lost their mind the same way Dana did ripping on Dave about those horrible numbers.
Yeah, well, you know, the first stupid part of that thing, and I say stupid, I don't know what else to call it. It's like say, you know, the acting was good, and they said that. They said Laurinaitis and Big Show played. Why would a guy that, first of all, when was the last time someone was fired in professional wrestling and actually was fired? That's right. That you just answered the question without opening your mouth. Never. I mean, it's just so it's a stupid concept to be. I mean, it's you know, you started to paint the wrong picture to begin with. The other thing is, you know, I was taught a long time ago that in the heat of the moment, or you know, in a building, you know, in a coliseum or an armory or whatever the hell it happens to be, you know, when people's adrenaline is up and you've kind of got them cranked, you can get away with a lot of things. But when those people leave the building and calm down and get home and that adrenaline rushes down and they're not in that same atmosphere and they think, are you ribbing me? And that's what I would have to think, that a lot of people went home with that particular, you know, because I don't see Paul White crying. I mean, I wouldn't say that he wouldn't cry in private or be totally distraught in private, but I would have believed in a legitimate situation he would have held his head up high and without opening his mouth, just his expression would have said, screw you, and he would have walked out of there. But to fall to his knees and cry like a child, I hardly think so. So, Dave, you and Chico, go back to rating the Three Stooges movies, please, and reviewing those. Because that's exactly, I mean, you know.
Well, that's, yeah, that's the thing. If that was, I mean, because WCW did this with oh, God, not Billy Silver, Nick Pat, oh, I can't remember, it wasn't Nick Pat, Randy Anderson, with his family and did something like this. And I know people harken back to that, but it's like, this isn't even Yoshitatsu or Alex or somebody
but it would be
effective.
I'm
going
to interrupt you again,
show.
Mike, but
yeah.
Randy Anderson was 5'4" tall,
yes,
and 130 pounds, and you could believe, you know, that
well,
to a certain degree.
That's
and
the
so,
thing to me.
Okay, so, and let me take the other, and I know what's drifting around, well, you know, Big Show's going to, since nobody that's on the roster is allowed to interfere in Laurinaitis and Cena's match, Big Show will come back and interfere on behalf of John Laurinaitis. Okay, I'll buy that. And then what you're going to tell me is that Triple H, being the benevolent, understanding human being that he is, will say, Paul, that you actually pulled the wool over my eyes, you and John Laurinaitis, and that you're just such a wonderful, God-fearing human being that you'd come back and pull this stunt. I want to hire you back again, right? Now, there's the only logical answer to that angle. I mean, there is nothing, when I say logical, there is no such thing as logical concerning this four-star acting pursuit of Clark Gable and George Clooney on Monday night.
Eve last week in Laurinaitis, this is the attitude, well, you can't get a job anywhere else. He's one of the few guys on the roster that everyone could actually believe could get a job in a movie or somewhere else if he wasn't in that company. It was just ridiculous. And we actually have a caller here from the Jacksonville, Florida area. So, caller, are you on the line?
Sure I am. How you guys doing? This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how are
you?
Hey,
Jeff.
I'm all right. I normally like to talk old school wrestling with these guys, but concerning the thing last night or the night before, whatever, on Raw with Triple H and the whole promo he did regarding Brock Lesnar, that promo right there should have been done by John Cena when Lesnar first started that whole garbage with I'm legitimate and everybody else is fake. I hated that. I hated that angle that WWE was running because that was a slap in the face to everybody in the business now and prior. Of course we know wrestling is a work, but you don't have to throw it in our face that everybody is fake and Brock Lesnar all of a sudden is this real pro, you know, this real guy. Brock Lesnar sucked at USC. He got his butt handed to him. He, of course, on his way to the top, he was brought along slowly, but when he had to go in there against guys that really were real, he got his tail kicked. And that shouldn't have been Triple H's place to bring that up. That should have been John Cena.
Well, I'll say this. When it comes to Brock's career in the UFC, I mean, the bouts of diverticulitis almost killed him. And more than that, I mean, and not more than that, but obviously that weakened him, and that really screwed with him in a lot of different ways, which is one of the reasons he's back wrestling now, is the UFC was done and cut short because of the diverticulitis. I don't know, physically with what he's got, I'm sure he's trying to make all of his money now. So, and he was the UFC heavyweight champion. He just found out that, he couldn't take a punch like a lot of UFC heavyweights could. But I think you're being a little unfair to him on that one. But with that said, Les, I'll let you go on this one. But when it comes to Triple H and Lesnar, Lesnar did beat him in a lawsuit. Vincent, I got the impression on, obviously, it's hard to play the dynamic of a guy coming back, from the UFC, which everyone knows is real, to WWE, which is, supposed to be a simulation of real sport, even though it is what it is now. I'm fine with the way they're saying the entertainment company, but with that said, it seems like it's more to me about settling a score that Lesnar beat you in a lawsuit and, they're going to be able to turn this around and play that into a storyline with him and Triple H, which to me doesn't need to be done. It doesn't have to take precedence over anything else. But Les, what's your opinion?
Well, I think, first of all, Heyman, being the devil's advocate makes more sense because, first of all, the character that Brock Lesnar is legitimately or should be portrayed as, I think, wouldn't really care what the hell you call the name of your show or about, I thought that was demeaning in terms of the type of character they're trying to get over, get him over as. So I think by him not actually being there and Heyman being a good mouthpiece to begin with, I think, it makes sense. I really do. But I think, first of all, Lesnar should have beat Cena. And we won't even talk about what Cena's ignorant portrayal of himself on Monday night, which was even worse than the Big Show Lesnar segment. I mean, Laurinaitis segment. But I think what they're doing now, it should have never got to Triple H already anyway. I think Cena should have been beaten. So, and I have to agree with Mike too, Jeff. I think you're not doing Brock justice in UFC, because his illnesses and one thing and another. I think he went up to the top pretty quick and maybe, wasn't seasoned enough when he got there. But, he's being used wrong here with WWE, I do feel.
Jevlin, thank you so much for the call, too. And again, anybody who wants to call in, 347-324-5735. I know you don't want to talk about the Cena thing, and I certainly don't either.
Well, you know, what I do want to say again, and I'm not sure that late at night or early in the morning on the West Coast that Chico and Dave share a good smoke or a bottle of tequila or something, but I don't understand they hope that the divorce gets over quick, then he can go. I don't quite understand if it's truth. Someone decided that he should act like a jackass because he's getting divorced on television, and I really don't know what one has to do with the other. I honestly don't. That was, you know, their bone of contention was that he played this stupid thing at the end of Raw Monday night because he's getting divorced. And I'm thinking, if someone came up with that idea, then they should legitimately be, you know, wished well in their future endeavors, because I mean, okay, I'm getting a divorce, so I want to act like a fool on television. I mean, and that promo was just so out there, stupid, puck you, and Jesus, I mean,
it took forever.
I don't even know.
It took forever. It wasn't funny. It just. You know, because I think Dave and Brian, and I don't, you know, I'm not trying to dog him too bad, but, like, Brian's cover of the Figure Four Weekly this week is partially about Cena's divorce. That's too sensationalistic to me. I don't care about this. It doesn't matter. It was just filed. It doesn't affect him wrestling-wise. It's too TMZ for me where I don't think it matters. But now, with that said, I think if they would have said, well, the reason they ran that, even though it's great, the package they did and the work he does for Make-A-Wish is fantastic, but I could see somebody saying, well, you know, they ran that one. It's good timing because of the news of this getting out. But as far as him acting like a jackass in the promo, I mean, it's if that is the case, that's just so pathetic and ludicrous and just made himself look worse. And, you know, forget about the fact that, you know, what his character is supposed to be in the realm of the show. It was just, to me, another three steps back with Cena. Of course they're going to cheer him, but this is the organic cheering that he needs and that people need to get behind him. It's just fake because he's running through Tenzan and Laurinaitis, who everybody hates. It's just...
Well,
it's,
you know, and I think if you listen to the crowd reaction to Cena's... I'm not even sure what he was yelling every time John would try to talk. I'm not going to say a thing. You know, and I'm thinking, I mean, the crowds almost didn't stop reacting, but the reaction dwindled. You know, it's like I think a lot of people thought he was just, you know, what? What's wrong with you? You know, I mean, it wasn't funny. It wasn't clever. You know, it wasn't cool. I don't know what the hell you think. I mean, I don't know what to say it actually was, Mike, but it was counterproductive. That's for damn sure. You know, I had a guy, and again, while we're on Raw, I had a guy at the gym say to me today, why do they put the guys in a match, on a match the day before the pay-per-view? He said, why do I, so I don't spend $54 next Sunday, meaning Jericho and Orton. And I said, well, the kid's name's Tony at the gym. I said, Tony, it's their pattern. They have a pattern. They're trying to indoctrinate. They want you to know exactly ahead of time what they're going to do, so there's no surprises. So you don't have, that way you don't have to spend the money if you don't want to. I mean, I was being sarcastic, obviously, but again, it comes back to this stupid pattern that, you know, I mean, the whole show, it wasn't the worst Raw show I've ever seen, but it wasn't even close to the – I mean, you know, it was in the bottom percentile of whatever I've seen. Even throwing Santino in there and letting him do stupid comedy spots with people that you're actually trying to get over, you know, I mean, the U.S. belt is of no value to anybody anyway. But that I saw no – you know, I didn't see much value in anything they did, honestly, on Monday Night, I guess is the best way to say it.
No, it was all a whole bunch of time fill. I mean, you know, honestly, when it's just like, you know, all the the dancers looked good, and I guess Eve looked good in that skirt. She could barely walk in. You know, that's not why I watch on Monday nights, or I guess that's kind of what they want you to do now. But, you know, you talked about the pattern. You talked about your friend at the gym. We were talking about this around WrestleMania, where even the average fan, their common fan that they think they're dumbing everything down for, and they make everything so simplistic and no surprises and all that sort of nonsense, and how they're making Cena look with, that's actually, they really have got themselves convinced that that's what people want. And these bad formulas that they have where people see right through it, and this is the average fan, not the internet fan bitching or whining or moaning, it's the average fan, because that's the reason that it got a 2.94 on Monday, period.
Yeah.
I mean, because those people are the ones that, I mean, wrestling is not cool or hip right now. I mean, it's just not. I mean, it's always big for one day. It's always good to pop up on shows because of the amount of media and things like that are out there. So they can always get some visibility. But nobody cares right now. And as you said, it is so wickedly counterproductive, where we say it every week, they have an ability to change Cena because you can't turn him heel because of the Make-A-Wish stuff. But you're never going to – I mean, he's getting worse and worse and worse as it goes along because of this idiot character that he portrays or that they have written for him or whatever. And, again, I know there's writers. I know there's producers. I know there's people at play. It's tough for me to believe that John Cena himself does not have veto power or does not realize – and I guess he really doesn't care. But it's hard for me to realize that it's like this – even if you don't care and the booing is water off your back legitimately, I mean, your future earnings as it goes along would be the thing I would worry about. And I don't know. How odd is it when you got Jack Swagger, Cody Rhodes gets bounced around like a Super Bowl, Dolph Ziggler does. It's like, you know, it was amazing. You know, that six-man match that they had with Dolph, Miz, and Jack Swagger. And it's like, well, a bunch of guys, they've stopped and started. The four-way that's taking place, I mean, you know, Alberto Del Rio, I mean, what's his plan? You know, Sheamus is at least seeming like the guy who's going to be able to break through, but it's just, I don't know, very frustrating.
Well,
although,
you know, it's like them wasting time showing Washington sitting in the skybox with, you know, and I don't mean this, you know, demean the people there with him, but It's a group of people that nobody cares about to begin with, and because he has bought their contracts, does somebody that writes this crap think that that's going to get these guys? Well, hey, Washington bought their contracts; they must be important. I mean, it's simpleton's thinking to even consider that that's going to get these people over. I don't even understand why are you wasting time on that. I mean, it's just who cares.
Well, that's the thing. It's. I don't want to demean WCW Saturday Night, but in the context of like 1998, where you had Nitro, you had Thunder, then you had Saturday Night. That's what that was. Was a Saturday? Why even waste the time on Raw to show them sitting in a box with Mason Ryan? I mean, it was just dumb. And what terrifying? Obviously, we're all happy that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are going to be facing off. I'm not happy with the fact that AJ is going to be around, and I would figure
why?
She's going to
but
have a place.
But you know, here's the thing. I said again, this young man I was talking to at the gym today. You know, we're talking about that. He's never seen Dragon and Punk work, right? And I told him, I said, well, they had some very good matches in Ring of Honor, and I said they could have them again if they're allowed, and that's the point, Mike. Will they be allowed to have that match? I mean, it's not can they have it. It's will it shake out that way? And, you know.
I'll have to wait for a little while because, you know, they've turned into TNA. I mean, we laughed about themed pay-per-views like TNA does and then WWE does them. A lot of the dumb stuff they've done, putting tag teams together and breaking them up right away. I bet you it's almost TNA-like where they're going to have a really good match for 25 minutes. But they're just not going to be able to contain themselves in AJ, who is now spurned by Punk, which is just even more of a reason for her to get put down by Daniel Bryan, I guess. I don't know. And she's probably going to play a role in the match. And that's...
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you want the match to be important, then those two guys need to be isolated. And I don't mean they need to have a match on Raw this past Monday to promote their pay-per-view, but you need to give them both a couple of video packages. Don't be bashful about showing the fact that they have a history. And AJ or Mary or Kelly or Joanne or whoever the hell has nothing to do with this. I mean, again, it's Punk encountering her in the hallway is like, what the hell does that have to do with anything? I mean, the fact that these guys have battled over a title, I mean, they don't even have to name ROH, just in another federation, and, you know, even at another level, they have a history. That's where I think over the years WWE or WWF has come up short, too. It's like there is no history past us. Yes, there is. And even the casual fan is aware that there's something out. I mean, there was something before God created WWE. Go ahead.
Oh, see, and you know better than anyone else on the planet as far as how to book a promotion, how you book a night of shows, how you book a series, the whole nine yards, booking in general, where you need cohesiveness and flow to everything. And WWE,
right.
On one side, with this whole thing going on, you have Punk saying, I've known this guy for a long time. Everybody knows that these two guys are, you know, not the WWE norm, you know, which is why people have taken to them. And you don't want to play up the athletic fact that these two guys can just go and get everybody into it. Meanwhile, on the main event side of things, you have a guy that's brought in for legitimacy, and you're playing that. And it's just like, but you can do that all throughout the card. Here's another chance to give, you know, again, stop, reset, give yourself more of a organic feel. If they would have, I thought, done this a different way with Brock Lesnar, well, that could drip through the rest of the card. And you have a way to push out some of the comedy because there's an ass-kicking guy back from the UFC is back. And it makes everybody sharper as far as their athleticism in wrestling. And you don't have to lose the entertainment value in that. You just let Punk and Brian go nuts, you know, on a show and not have anything like AJ or the possibility of it to take away people's attention. Because she may not interfere at all, but there's going to be people towards 15, 20 minutes in when they should be really into the match. I bet you their heads are going to be jacked, you know, looking at the screen and looking at the entrance to see what happens. And that's completely purpose defeating.
You know, I was told years ago, and of course, that would probably nullify it to most of the experts on the internet, that there actually was anything years ago, that when the audience pays more attention to the stage or the dressing room door, then you have overdone that crap anyway.
When?
I mean, when you're expecting a run, when you're expecting a run-in, the run-in doesn't matter, is my point. When you don't expect it is when you get the reaction you're looking for. Somebody had asked me on our show, Vic and I had sent a question in on our Observer show last week, the difference between cheap heat and real heat, and I gave explanations, and what you saw Monday night for the most part was cheap heat. I mean, it's like cotton candy. It might have a nice smell, and it might look pretty, but the minute you put it in your mouth, it dissolves and it's gone, and nobody cares. You know? The kind of heat that they don't have and should have is the type that makes you not be able to wait till next Monday night or until Sunday and be willing to spend $54 or $50 or whatever the hell, you know, the current price is in your neck of the woods for this show. And what they did Monday night has nothing to do with any of that.
Well, that's where all these damn donkeys... Well, you can't do it like they used to do. You can't, you know, the racial heat things you can't do anymore, and this you can't do, and that you can't do. And it's like, you know, all of these dramas that are on TV, and yes, you know, that your Law and Order is Justified, and shows like that tend to be a little bit edgier, but there's a zillion and one shows on TV that have lasted for years and years because it's the same simple formula that gets you through, and it doesn't have to be. You know, you just have to be more interesting with how you present a story, but the basics are still the same. And they just keep pushing away from that and pushing away from that, which is, you know, it drives you nuts. And then you have a group like Ring of Honor, who I don't know exactly what Jim Cornette's house must have looked like Saturday night or Sunday morning when he got done not being able to watch his own show with the problems that ROH had. And you have a group like that who three technically glitched nightmare pay-per-views, pay-per-views in a row. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them as far as faith amongst their fan base. But in a way, there are at least guys in that promotion who are trying to make a significant difference. Lance Storm was on that show with Mike Bennett again. Fit Finley was on there with Roderick Strong in what was supposed to be, or at least, you know, told to be a really good match. And people don't get a chance to see it. I know you didn't get a chance to see it either, Les, but how do you feel about that for Ring of Honor, who's had this really bad string of luck in the past couple of weeks? And we were hoping to have Bob Evans on tonight, but he's under the weather, so hopefully Brutal Bob will be feeling up to par here pretty soon. But what was your feelings as far as hearing the nightmare that came out of that show?
Well, you know, it's a shame. And the crazy, you know, now I don't know who Dave Markland does business with at CZW, but I don't, of course, and they probably don't have the buy rate, if that's what you call it, on the internet, on their, you know, internet pay-per-views, but I don't know that he's ever had that kind of problem. And again, this is a television company that, I mean, I don't know what the technical reasons, I'm not that well versed in all the technicalities of the modern stuff anyway, but shouldn't have all this been ironed out before they ever went to war, as it were? I mean, I would have thought, yeah, and I think, yeah, it's a shame that, you know, that it came off like that. It's going to affect them long term, I do believe. I'm curious. I did a Ether finish back in 1970. No, we did. Seriously.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I got to be honest, because I want to hear your story on this, but I got to be honest, I like this, even though a lot of people didn't, but I really want to hear your story on this.
We did, Whitey Caldwell and I, it was one of the biggest feuds of that part of the in Knoxville. We actually, I don't know if they legitimately used Ether or not, or whether that was just part of this. I don't know. But it was Whitey and I against the Wrights. The Wrights conned us into defending the titles on television. And while Donnie Wright and I were fighting out on the floor, Ron put Whitey to sleep with Ether. Well, back in 1970, the lighting for color television was so intense, and I mean, temperatures in studios were extremely high, right? There was a lot of heat, and there was no doubt in anybody in that studio's mind that Saturday morning that there was ether or chloroform, on that rag, because I could smell it. Everybody could smell it. I mean, it was we built a hell of an angle from that, and drew a lot of money. I don't know, you know. I know there were. I read again some of the, the Cornette is.
Stuck in the past. That nonsense.
Yeah, and doesn't know what he's doing. Of course, that would be another expert. Who's bought two tapes, got three autographs, and watched 10 shows, and he knows more about the wrestling business than Jimmy. But, I didn't see it, so I don't know how it came across. I don't know how it was played out. It worked tremendous for us. You know, that was in 1969 or 70, I don't remember honestly, but it was that long ago. I don't know. It's certainly fresh in terms of, the current product, it's not 75 Muay Thai kicks.
Well, I thought it came, I had a chance to see the end, and I thought it came out well because it was well done. It's for people who haven't seen it. I think it was something different where I'm sure they didn't like it, but it's not like you turn off from something like that. You want to see Charlie Haas, who is really you know, really coming across as some people love to hate. We went to the ROH tapings in Baltimore last month. I mean, people love to hate Charlie Haas, and he loves to be hated, and it's working. But the thing I heard about, or that I read about, was that, well, Cornette's going back to Smokey. It's the same thing that the gangsters did when they lost the belts in however many years ago it was, 97 or whatever. I'm thinking, okay, before that, the last major one I remember was in the UWF with Buddy Roberts and Savannah Jack for the TV title. So being spaced apart like that, yeah, I think it was pretty good timing, actually.
Yeah.
And I think it continues on a feud between two teams that, look, no offense to the All Night Express, because they are, you know, they went from male dancers to being taken, you know, seriously, and that's good, but there's still a ways to go for them. There's not, you know, as good as the tag team, you know, situation is in ROH, comparatively speaking, I still want to see the Briscoes go head-to-head with the world's greatest tag team. And it's a way to continue out, and I think it was a way that made sense. But I know we're getting pushed up to a break here again, so we're going to be our only break of the night, folks, so at least we can go and get this one out of the way.
Don't give Rich cardiac arrest now.
We'll get this one out of the way now. But get Les's thoughts on that and a whole bunch of other stuff when we get back from break here on Ringside Wrap.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Tempe's of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
We're back here on Ringside Wrap. Legendary Les Thatcher along with me, Mike Sempervivi, and we're going to be back here for about another half hour, 20 minutes or so, talking about a few things. And about 347-324-5735 if you want to call in. And Georgia Championship Wrestling music. Man, that would be nice right now. But
what was it?
That little rant I went on about the world's greatest tag team and that whole ether finish, I mean, I don't know. To me, even though it was something pulled from the past, I think it was something that made sense because it was spaced out for so long. I don't remember there being any ether finishes in WWE or WCW for quite some time.
No, I don't know. You know, I haven't seen it in a long time. And I think, you know, that's there's so much that's been done and done and done, it becomes redundant. And again, as I, you know, I mentioned earlier about if during a match the fans spend more time watching the aisle to see who's going to run in, then run-ins should be stopped, you know, because it's overdone. And so anything that hasn't been done in a long, long time is, I think it's fresh. You know, is it going to be controversial? Probably. And again, I didn't see this, so I don't know how it was played out. But yeah, it's different. That's the main thing, I think. What I didn't like was, the pre-taped interviews that I saw on Sunday. Well, they were played out Saturday night here, you know, on ROH. I DVR'd and watched it Sunday morning. And Bennett talking about what he did to Lance, and of course Lance won the match. And Charlie and Sheldon, you know, crowing about the Briscoes, and yet they did not have the belts. That can get you in trouble. Been there, done that, and I don't like it. I honestly don't. You know.
You know, there's contracts now where they don't have to worry about that, but injuries and lots of other things play a role. I know a month of tapings and going to them, they were able to keep the energy up semi-well, but it's four weeks is just, and again, I'm not paying their bills, so who am I to talk, but 4 weeks is a long, it's just too much to do in one night, I think, for the people there, and because, as you're saying, the variables that could take place.
You know, those interviews to me, Mike, should have, and I would debate this with Corny, and I love him to death. Make those damn things generic, you know. When you're watching this, the match has, you know, as we do this interview, the match hasn't taken place, but we intend to, you know, to come out of there the victors. Or so. I mean, it's not a sinful. I mean, here's the thing, in this day, and I mean, there was a time years ago when someone may not know a show was taped and you could get away with that, but that's not today. And I would, you know, as much a proponent I am of classic doing stuff in a classic, a lot of stuff in a classic way, I'm not a proponent of doing that in a classic way because you paint yourself into a corner. You know, Bennett talking about how he manhandled Lance, well, Mike, you got your ass handed to you. What are you talking about? I didn't see the match, but I saw the results. So, and I saw the results before I watched ROH. So I'm thinking, what the hell is he saying? You know?
Yeah.
Because it was now had Kevin, come back with, wait a minute, Mike, you're being pretty cocky for a guy who got beat. Then it would have made sense. You get my point?
Absolutely. Have Maria do it. She wasn't there. That was just Bob. It wasn't like Florida where Bob wasn't there. Maria's not there. Have Maria do something about, you know, I'm waiting on him to fly back. I didn't get a chance to see the match, but I'm sure he kicked ass. And then we're going on tour, and you know what? Mike's got this and this coming up. I think that would have made more sense because I think it's a waste of your TV time for something very generic like that, or not generic in a good way, but just in the way that they did it.
I'm going to ask you a question. Who's the homely little chick that does the interviews, and why does she?
Well, that's Vegas.
I'm not Kevin Dunn, and but I look at this, and I'm thinking, whose daughter is this? Where's the nepotism coming in here?
Yeah, she's, you know, I'm not sure. I know, you know, she's been around for a while. I know she's in college and she's been working in wrestling, but I don't know how she plays into why she got the role. Obviously, Kyle Durden did it back in the days on when they were on HDNet, but I don't know how that actually came to be or anything.
She
like
kind of has the same voice that the girl that does the Empire Wrestling commercials on this show has, and.
God, she says Empire. I'm going to put my foot through the TV now that you said that.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Rich. I don't mean to. Rich is probably saying, you old gray-haired son of a bitch, shut up.
Yeah, see, he slammed his head on the keyboard right now, in fact. I think that's what all those symbols that just came up meant on my screen.
Whatever. I you know, Mike Johnson says Monday when he was ranting about Raw, he said, if Mike Epps and Hart were on here now, he'd be pulling a Les Thatcher. And I said, you mean he'd be telling the truth? Which is sinful, I understand, in this day and age. If you're honest, it's scary.
No, not unless you tell their version of the truth. I mean, if you tell the truth I want to hear, then that's fine.
Well, sure. Right. You're the greatest lead announcer I've ever talked to, Mike. And I don't know why I'd even consider Jim Ross or Gordon Solie when I got you. Okay. Now, my Pinocchio nose just stabbed the phone. just like on Sunday morning when I watched ROH, I saw Kelly and Nigel's Pinocchio noses stab the cameras when they were putting over the Chikara Trios match.
Well, hey, I'll defend that in that if you want to...
Oh, my God.
Here's why.
The next sound you hear will be my phone going click as I hang up.
Well, you know, I'll say this. If you want to, because Chikara is good in its area and good, if you want to run a daytime show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you need to co-promote. They're going to have something that weekend anyway. And you open the show with one of the 31 flavors, fine. If you want to do it popcorn-esque, I guess that's okay, but I would build an ROH card different than that. I just would. It's not what I would do.
Yeah.
I would build up to the main event. So, you know, in its place, it would be fine. But, yeah, as you said, too, and how – I mean, and I'll tell you this, too. The people at Ring of Honor or that went to that taping, they had no interest in seeing the Chikara guys. There were a couple
– I heard, yes, I could hear the lack of – well, you know, and let me say this so Quack doesn't go off on a tantrum about me. I understand there are people that entertains. It just doesn't entertain me, and it's not in my way. I understand it's lucha or lucha based, and which is not my cup of tea either. You know, and one of those ants is Drew Gulak, who is a hell of a worker when he's working straight. In his choreographed dance routine, I'm not interested. You know, it's just whatever. But, yeah, I don't understand the connection there either. You know, and Kelly, God love you, Kevin, if you're listening. You know, trying to say, yeah, well, Ring of Honor allows anybody. Well, okay, there's some bums sitting outside. They're homeless people. Let them come in and fight over food scraps, for Christ's sake, if you allow anything. You know, I mean, it's just, it's a total 180 degrees from what Ring of Honor should be and is neither. But That's the horse of another color, too.
Well, you say the homeless guy. And look, hey, Kevin Steen, this is going to be, you know.
That's a homeless guy. Yeah, okay.
I'm convincing myself this is a transitional thing, I think. I would hope, because I don't know how much you can go with legs as Kevin Steen as your world heavyweight champion. I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying that this was a mistake to do or anything, because I think title need to go off Davey Richards. I think this could be a transition with something, but you either like Kevin Steen, and he's got a very – he's an ROH guy. You'll never see him WWE. You'll never see him in TNA. He's not going to have the look. He doesn't, I guess, care about wanting to have the look or any of that stuff. But people in ROH like him, so there's a place for him there, I believe. With that said, you either like him as heavyweight champion or you absolutely don't. And the only reason I'm liking him is because I don't think this is going to have legs for a super long time, but I know you're not a proponent of him.
No.
Are you okay with this as a transition, if that's what it's going to be, so he and Carino can...
If he's is he dropping a strap tomorrow, then I'm okay with it.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Did he drop it 15 minutes after he won it? No, I mean, I want to ask you a question since you watched this thing. I did go to on Slam site and Oliver shot a bunch of pictures and now Carino's his buddy again. What the hell happened there? Is this the John Laurinaitis Big Show? John's, you know, how did Carino end up back in the good graces of Kevin Steen?
Well, that's what I'm kicking myself in the ass for, too, because at the tapings, they had Carino up in commentary. They never pointed out anything. It's kind of dark where the announcers are, except when they're in the ring, they go up and go into a little bit of a catbird to do the matches. So, and I never found out exactly what it was, but then I was just figuring, okay, this is going to play into Steen. But then as it kept going on, as soon as he got in the ring, it was like, okay, here we go. This blood feud that they had, now evil lives again. So it's going to be this little group of Steve Corino, Kevin Steen, and then Jimmy Jacobs, who's very good in his role of being an annoying little prick that you just want to beat senseless. So I guess in that way he's playing a good aside to Kevin Steen. But I guess it's their little, I forget what the click was called when they were feuding with El Generico and all that was happening over the last couple of years, but it looks as though that they're going to be a little unit to drive Kerry Silken and Jim Cornette nuts.
Okay, here's my problem with not just that, but if it had played out 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I still would have had my problem with it, okay? When you and I, to fool Rich Tate, when you allow me to beat you over the head with chairs, stuff pile drive you, kick you in between the legs to convince him that we don't like each other so you can come back and be my buddy, then you're a bigger friggin' fool than I've ever met before in my life, Mike. And that's plain and simple. And that's why I don't like that particular storyline anytime, any year. Do you get my point?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why would you allow me to physically abuse you and possibly injure you permanently to convince Jim Cornette that we don't like each other, only to come back and we do like each other? What was the value of that?
Well, that's the thing, to do it ice cold, because it would drive me that, like Don Kernoodle, here's an example, I want my country back. When Nikita came in and the Koloffs turned on him and he wasn't going to be long for the company with Dusty in anyway. And it was, you know, but nobody trusted him. And then there was still that slow build again on would you even trust the guy and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I think it was actually really Ole Anderson that reached his hand out to him. And I think, I can't remember, Starrcade 84 or whatever it was, where maybe it was 83, where he, you know, okay, it was into that feud where people were back behind him again. You have to do that. If you come back ice cold, yeah, it's just like, I'm not big on sadomasochism. I don't, you know, get excited about that. So why you would beat me up and I'm just going to come back and then, you know, give you a leer and a hug, it's just stupid to me. I don't know.
It is, yes. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for, stupid. Yeah, and again, it's not, it has nothing to do because it's Steen or Steve. I don't have a problem with Carino or Jacobs, but the storyline is just stupid. It was, and like I say, it was, I don't care who pulled it off. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we can be devious and pretend not to like one another toward an end that benefits us both. But to one of us to allow the other one to actually physically abuse you, that makes no sense at all. It just doesn't. You know,
like the Abyss Stevie Richards thing in TNA, which I thought was just so stupid. It's stupid too, but running out of time here, and I did want to mention the passing this week of Gorgeous George Jr.
Well, we should have brought that up. Yeah, Gigi was, I worked with George first time in Phoenix, Arizona in 66, and then of course we worked together in the Carolinas, and then extensively when he managed Stomper in Knoxville. In fact, there's a video that I produce floating around out on YouTube somewhere where Gigi is like in his living room and talking about, you know, his ongoing Stomper and that sort of thing. Last time I saw George was at Scott Teal's a couple years ago. And, our condolences out to his family. He was a good worker, you know, and a damn good manager.
I was surprised that Dory Funk Jr. wrote up an article on his Bang site that was distributed around about just a little story about when Gorgeous George Jr. was teaming up with Don Curtis, or I'm sorry, Buddy Colt in Amarillo, which I never knew he did, but had a story about them wrestling with a wrestling bear, and I just, you know, I didn't even know that he teamed with Buddy Colt. I had no clue about that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it was really a surprise. But when it comes to, you know, that Gorgeous George Jr. is probably, you know, he was more of a regional star. You know, obviously everybody knows the name Gorgeous George, but when somebody taking, and obviously Gorgeous George, you know, after the alcohol had gotten to him and, you know, he did the hair versus hair matches and things like that around, and his work started to suffer and things like that. I mean, did he pass on the Gorgeous George name to Gorgeous George Jr., or did he just usurp it?
No, George, I tell you the truth, GG Jr.'s real name, what his real name was, I have no idea, but he legally changed his name to George Wagner Jr., although they are no real, I don't know that they ever met, Mike.
Huh.
But he did change his name. His wife, Brenda, was a nice lady, and she passed away, gosh, it's been a few years ago. They lived in an apartment complex across the street from me, and my apartment complex on one side of the street, and theirs was on the other in Knoxville for a long time. And so, yeah, he was, you know, I've known him for a long time, he was, you know, he was a good performer. He did really well as the manager of the Stomper. And when Kayfabe commentary, there's somebody posted a picture of Stomper breaking the concrete block on LeDuc's head, which that's another long story we don't have time for now. But I think Gigi's picture is standing in the corner. That was on the cover of one of the Ringside magazines from the Southeastern Territory back in the 70s. But yeah, he was a solid worker, but he was better as, you know, as a manager and a talker. I think that was his strong suit.
Hey, it's really good chance to do this too. You know, with always having guests and always talking. You know, one more call before we go here. Actually, from Nashville, Tennessee. So, you on the line there, caller? What's your name? Hello?
Apparently he's not there, whoever he is.
Hey, well, we tried. That's all you can do.
We did.
You know, who else tries is everybody tomorrow night on Peach Day Pandemonium. Not sure if I think it's going to be a free-form show for those guys over there, too, Bobby Simmons and Jerry Oates. Oh, I'm sorry, Rich just let me know there is no PSP this week, so I'm a miserable failure. Come on, Producer Rich, hit me off with these things a little bit earlier. But obviously, if you're on Twitter, at GWH Tweets and at Ringside Rap, I've got the Facebook page as well.
I didn't say anything about you being a failure.
Well, wow, he lives, the disembodied voice.
Wow, from the archives and our past.
Circus again this week, so he won't be around tomorrow night.
That's okay. well, fine then.
Get back in your cage, Tate.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
You're stepping out of Les's chance to plug here. Damn it, get out of here. Les, what do you have coming up here this week?
Well, I Johnson and I did. He had to go to a funeral today, and we didn't get together. But coming up this weekend, you know, we're Will Strauss and Vic Socia and I on Wrestling Weekly on the Observer site. And then, of course, coming up, I'm, you know, going to be at the Fan Fest in August, signing autographs, doing pictures. I think I'll be part of the – Greg hasn't announced it yet, but he's got a banner up on his site that there's going to be a training session. I think I'll be part of that, and, of course, going to be part of the broadcast team for his matches. And I've got a couple other things lined up, but no locked-in dates. Vance Nevada and I have talked, and I think I'm going to Western Canada for a week in September and possibly to Frisco for Rowan Alexander and APW there at some point. So, but no dates are locked in yet.
Next week, I'm not sure what we got coming up here, but again, like I said, stay tuned to at Ringside Rap or GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com to see who's going to be here. I unfortunately will not be here. I know it's going to crush everyone out there, but sure, Mike Mooneyham, Brutal Bob Evans, even maybe Rich Tate himself may crawl out of the woodwork here, possibly. So you never know who you're going to get next week, but I have to run up to New York. But if no one can just, you know, live without me next Wednesday night, at SemperVV if you're on Twitter, or go to my Facebook page, which you'd probably would rather do that anyway because there's pictures of my kid on there, and he's far cuter than I. So Brian Alvarez and I this coming Sunday from 6 to 8 on sportsbyline.com, and Adam Summers and I should be back here relatively soon with a new Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare as well. So for Rich Tate's disembodied voice, for Les Thatcher, And everyone else out there, look at this terrible outro. I'm already mentally in New York. Les, have a good evening, and hopefully
you too, Mike.
Mike Mooneyham takes care of you better next week. Good night, everyone.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.